Mike and the Pips and everybody else, and I just have me a time. So don't miss that snatch.
Seeth me, seeth him that sent me. Praise God. And let me tell you something. When the people of today, when they look at the bride, and if they see Jesus, they gotta see Jesus. If you claim to have God, if you claim to have Jesus Christ in your life, then they should see Jesus. They should see Jesus in your life. Praise God. You should be wearing his name. You should be going around. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me tell you something. Right here. Oh, glory be unto God. In the 14th chapter, the 8th verse through the 10th, he said, praise God, the scripture reads, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? That the words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Praise God. Let me tell you something. There's coming a day and a time when people's going to look at the bride, and they're going to see Jesus. They're going to see Jesus. They ain't going to see some old church. They ain't going to see some old filthy church doctrine. They're going to see Jesus. They're going to see the Word of God. They're going to see what God has said in his Word. You're going to live right. You're going to live holy. He said he's going to present himself a church that's righteous. Praise God. That's a glorious church. Holy. Acceptable for him. Praise God. Let me tell you something. She's going to be holy. She's going to be holy. She's going to be living the way she's supposed to be living. Not as the world. She's not going to be playing the harlot. Praise God. She's not going to be committing adultery with the world. She's not going, oh, hallelujah, you look at the church and all they do is take on organizations. They take on committees. They take on this. They take on that. This doctrine, that doctrine. They run out and they go roller skating every Monday night. They praise God when they, oh, hallelujah, they don't go, oh, glory be unto God. They don't go to a fellowship hall to fellowship no more. They go down there to eat, to stuff their face. That's all they do. That's all they want to do. They want to stuff their face. Oh, praise God. Let me tell you something. The Bible said the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in the Holy Ghost, in the joy of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. She's going to be without spot, without wrinkle, and she's going to be called after his name. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something today. Oh, glory be unto God. There's coming a time. There's coming a time when we're all going to have to live right. We're going to have to live holy. We're going to have to live righteous before God. Oh, hallelujah. You say, well, Sam, you preached on the Father, the Son, but what about the Holy Ghost? Catch me here in the 15th verse of the 14th chapter of St. John. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father that he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's the words of Jesus. You want to deny the word of God? He said here. He said, oh, glory be unto God. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus is the comforter. He is the fullness of God. He is the Holy Ghost. You get him, you get the Holy Ghost. You get him, you get the Father. You get, oh, glory be. Glory be unto God. You're going to have to get a hold of God in these last days and times. You're not going to be able to commit worldly things. You're going to be different from the world. You're going to be holy and righteous before God. You're going to quit playing church. You're going to live what he said. You say, well, Sam, that still don't sound right. That still don't sound right. You're forgetting Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. Here in the book of Colossians, there's some deep truth to be had by people that will receive it. There's some people that will receive the deep truth today. He said here in the first chapter, praise God, in the 19th verse, he said, for it pleased the Father that in him should all, now, that's a big word, all means everything. He said, everything that God was. He said, for in him should all fullness dwell in the tabernacle called Jesus Christ that wore the name of the Father. Praise God, that wore the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Go just a little bit further with me. Catch it here. Oh, hallelujah, that's all for today. I'm running out of time, but I'll continue. Lord willing, I'll preach this message some more. I got to bring out the truth that he gave me. Praise God. Get in touch with me somehow if you want to know more about the Godhead. If you want to know more about the truth of God and not this old worldly trash that they're teaching and everything. Praise God. You write me, you get a hold of me, you get in touch with me. God bless
you. So that's from a guy in Alabama. It was an AM radio station, and that one comes from WFMU's Beware of the Blog. They posted that in 2007. It was a guy named S.H., and he was a little diminutive preacher that came in, and he handed the DJ $35 in cash, and he got a half-hour program every week, and nice. He did his preaching.
Nice.
And I think what's interesting is, like, when they speak in tongues, I think that's when he's trying to collect his thoughts.
Yeah.
Right? Because you pretty much just keep going and going and going.
He's
and
so worked up that he just can't get the words out anymore.
And I love at the end of this, he actually buys himself a Coke. He stops. Yes. And he talks to the DJ, and he's like, hey, how much are these Cokes? Hold on one second. I think I got it right here. Let me see. Let me back out of the quiet spring blossoms, and we'll hear S.H. buy himself a Coke after his preaching. Here he comes.
Down about what half the churches in the world believe in this, Bruce, because it don't go along with that. If it don't go along with that, then I don't want it. And they shouldn't want it, but they can see it. They're blind. Take it easy, Perry.
Okay.
God bless you. see if I've got a... How much these cost, Trey? A quarter?
Yeah. Just drop it down in the...
How much is a bottle? 10 cents?
No, a nickel, I think.
Okay, well, I'm going to put 30 cents.
Okay, just put it down in the hole.
God said they were free. I love that. He's just, hey, how much are these Cokes? They a quarter? Are they 10 cents? No, they're a nickel. Like, okay. And the thing is, you're not really supposed to, in the deep south there on a Sunday, you're not supposed to treat yourself to anything, are you?
I don't know.
I don't even think you're supposed to have sodas on the Sabbath.
No, that's like Mountain Dew and Dr. Pibb country. I think the good Lord will smile on you if you're drinking sugary carbonated beverages.
Yeah, maybe. I like that, though. I thought that was a pretty fun one.
That is fun.
And Easter time, you know, gets a little religious.
It does.
You get into the spring. Sure you do. Doesn't he move the rock and then he comes out?
He does.
Yeah.
Somebody comes out.
Somebody moves a rock. Nobody knows if it's actually Jesus, but the story is Jesus moves a rock and he leaves, but nobody actually catches him moving the rock.
Right.
They don't have it on like a GoPro or anything.
They show up and the rock has been moved and Jesus is gone and it's like, it's a miracle.
Yeah. Speaking of GoPros, you've been watching Gwenny and the ski thing, the guy that's like roughing it up?
Can I tell you,
he slams into her on a mountain?
Having just sat through 14 days of a jury trial.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The last thing you want to do is watch more jury trial stuff.
I've kind of been following it out of the corner of my eye.
Yeah.
And this guy who's suing her is a clown.
Oh yeah, sure
and
is.
And it's obvious he's a clown.
I think she's lying too, though.
And the best part of the whole thing is they had a witness up a couple of days ago who had a chat.
Yes,
logs of a
I did
chat,
see that.
Of a chat room.
Yes.
Where they were all talking about let's sue Gwyneth Paltrow.
Right. Right.
You know, and they handed that to the defense.
Yep. Yep.
And the defense waited until the trial began to put this out there,
yep.
And now they all look like the clowns that they are.
That's right.
Because they are clowns.
I love Gwenny, too.
Gwenny's all right.
Yeah, I love her. She's great.
The whole goop thing is a little
awesome.
A little overdone.
I got to see her vagina, like, close up.
I know.
She's like, hey, come on in. Come check this out. And I'm like, I want to see it. I want to see what it is. I don't know. You know, it's not every day that a woman wants to show you her vagina, like, close up and then make a candle out of it.
Maybe not you know? But, you know.
How many candle vaginas do you have? I don't have
quite
any.
Quite a few.
You have a collection?
Right.
Well, you're a collector, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't start the vagina candle collection because you know I'd go for everyone.
Sure.
You know? And it's like, I can't be having, like, vagina candles around my house. It's a little weird.
Plus, you got to get the limited edition ones.
Yeah.
You know, you go bankrupt trying to get those.
That's true. I think a summer vagina candle, probably not as crisp as a spring vagina candle, but I don't know. I don't know. Gwenny would know, and that's why I like her.
Is she spending her summers at the beach?
I know is if she needs like a...
Good for the Constitution.
I don't want to say taste tester, but they have some kind of smell or aroma tester, something there. I'd do it, you know? Just like how they used to... When we were talking about that movie with the... with all the water rides and stuff, Action Park.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy would just be like, hey, would you take $20 and go down this slide and see what happens? It's like, yeah, I think I would do that for, sniff this candle for $20. I'm like, all right. I'm like, no, that smells like your ass, Gwenny. Go back to the drawing board.
Yikes.
Yeah. Disposable candles. Plenty of those. No disposable monuments, though. I think I would do that, maybe a disposable monument of Gwyneth Paltrow after this trial. I could sell a few of those.
What's it made out of?
Vaginas. Why not? Yeah, it's goop. I hate the name goop.
Call it the great snatch.
When I think of goop,
did you like the great snatch?
It was great. That was very good.
That's one of the early mashups.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
And what that preacher is actually talking about is the rapture.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
He refers to it as the great snatch.
I hope it happens. I can't wait.
I think we missed it already.
I think we did too. I think we're the ones that are stuck here.
There were like three people.
Wasn't the happening supposed to be like that too? Isn't that about rapture?
Yeah.
Like a bunch of people left behind.
There were like three people that left and nobody noticed.
Yeah.
Because they were so good that they never left.
It's like nobody's seen Macaulay Culkin lately. Where is he?
No, he's around.
They took him.
He's around.
Yeah. He was one of the good ones.
They keep him on ice. So
that's the thing too.
Youthful looks.
See, the thing is years ago we used to think, you know, you got to be nice, you got to do good things, and now nobody cares.
No,
like with social media, they know everybody's just a mess.
Now you're like,
so nobody's on their best behavior anymore. Here we are talking about, you know, dirty things on the air.
Now you're lucky if you get anything anywhere. Like you walk into stores, there's nothing on the shelves.
Yeah.
You walk into a restaurant, nobody helps you. It's like, do I have to go in the back and cook my own food?
I know. It's awful. Nobody wants to do their job anymore. It's the absolute minimum. This is why the rest of the world hates us. Americans want to do the absolute minimum for the maximum amount of profit.
Well, how about the French?
Always hated the French.
They're burning Paris down because they got to work an extra 2 years before retirement.
Yeah,
I mean, come on.
You know what? You know, 4-hour lunches, it catches up with you French people. You can't go out for 4 hours. For lunch.
I've spent what now?
Eat crepes.
35 years paying into Social Security, and I will never see a dime of that.
Oh, I know. Me neither.
I would gladly work 2 more years if it meant I'd get any of that money. I won't.
Yeah.
I have no sympathy for you.
You know what's funny? I think a lot of people, they couldn't not work. You know, you get to the point where you're so conditioned, you have to do something.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly fine sitting on my ass some days and doing nothing. I'm like, I think I'd be fine with this. I watched Office Space, rewatched that again. I'm like, what a great movie.
See, I'm the opposite. I get sick, and you know, if I'm sick or injured...
You start to die if you're not working.
And can't leave the house.
Yeah.
I start climbing the walls after a day.
Yeah.
I'm like, I got to get out. Like, when I smashed up my knees a few years ago.
Oh, yeah.
I lasted a day and a half in, like, agonizing pain. And finally, I was like, nope, I'm going back to the office. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, I think one of the things about staying busy is it refocuses your mind from the pain. You know, it's no different than any, like, OxyContin or a drug. I mean, it pretty much refocuses that pain in your brain. I think you can do it naturally. You're just like, I'm just going to work my ass off, and then I can't complain about my ankle that's been dangling off my foot for the last 4 years.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you got to go work today. I don't have time for this. Got to pay some bills. This is nice in the background. It's nice ambiance. The spring. I like the spring. Not my favorite of the four seasons, but it's a good one.
Yeah.
Fall's probably my favorite. I like to watch things die.
Fall's great.
Yeah.
Spring has like 3 good days in it. Spring puts on a good front.
Yeah.
Because if you think about spring starts out as wet and damp and mushy.
Yes. Yes.
And terrible.
Yeah.
And then some flowers show up and you're like, flowers. And then it gets to be 90 degrees.
It's when you actually use the mudroom is the spring.
Yeah. Then it gets to be 90
There's
degrees.
Mud everywhere.
And you're sneezing and you're done with it.
Yeah.
Because it's still too cold to go to the beach, but it's too hot to be outside.
Yeah.
And if you go outside,
you
it's
get
all,
like that sweat in you.
It's bees and pollen everywhere.
Yeah. You allergic to bees?
I
was when I was a kid.
I wasn't when I was a kid, but I've been stung so many times that I now have like concerning reactions.
Yeah.
You know, if I get a full-on bee sting... There's a chance I may need to go hit the urgent care and be like,
what a way
to
go.
About this.
Yeah, what a way to go, huh?
Yeah.
Just be like, what happened to Derek? Oh, a bee stung him.
Yeah.
It's like after all the crap in life, it's like a bee took me out. Ugh.
Because I've had bee stings where like my entire limb has swollen up.
Yeah.
That's not good. That's not supposed to happen.
I had a mosquito bite me in the eye when I was a kid.
That's no
man,
fun.
Oh, yeah. My eye was all swollen up. I couldn't open it. My mother's like, what happened to you? She thought I got like punched in the head. I'm like, it was a skeeter.
So you may remember the story about Bobby getting stung by the bee in another moment of dad
I
failure.
Do. Yes, yes.
So a couple of weeks ago, we took him up to Rockport for the first time in like months.
Because
it's winter and you don't go to Rockport.
Yeah.
It's still too early to go to Rockport, by the way. Nothing is opening until April, so...
Go see Motif Number 5 and have a breakfast sandwich.
So we told him we were going up there, and he got this concerned look in his eyes, looks at me and goes, no bees?
Oh,
like, he remembers the bee sting.
It's weird what kids remember.
From last fall.
Yeah.
Or late last summer. And it's like, oh, my God, that's like his first memory.
Yeah.
Is a bee sting.
Mm-hmm.
And he knows where it happened.
Yeah.
It's also the first day he got cars, so maybe he remembers the cars as well. But he remembers that.
Yeah.
So there is now no question that I am at the age where, or my child is at the age where he is forming memories, and I got to be stupid careful about everything I do.
Yeah. Yeah. I got one. Do you like kazoos? Do you like the Rolling Stones?
Why?
See, I love the Rolling Stones and I love kazoos.
Why would you? Nobody likes kazoos.
Oh, everybody loves kazoos.
Nobody likes kazoos.
Are you kidding me? This is a whole orchestra of kazoos.
No, I am familiar with the group
of
which you were speaking.
This one is by far my favorite. The Rolling Stones cover.
Nobody likes kazoos.
With kazoos. Oh, okay. They're going to love it after this.
Nobody likes kazoos. The only thing people like less than one kazoo is multiple kazoos.
Oh, this is Temple City
Evil
Kazoo Orchestra.
Yes.
And they're covering Miss You by the Stones.
Oh, dear.
And you're going to love it. It's from 1978. And we will discuss it. We could just discuss it while we're playing it.
That's,
because it's worth a few laughs when they get the things in. Oh, no, like, just play it. We'll play it and we'll
like
stay
asking
on.
Somebody, do you like wax facials? No, we'll, nobody likes that.
We'll listen the same time as everybody else is listening to this one, because this is just awesome. This is Miss You by the Temple City Kazoo Orchestra. Here we go. See, this is great.
Nobody asked for this.
Bright and grand. The robins call, the grass grows tall, and good smells fill the land. And even though I sneeze a lot, I really shouldn't care. I'll just decide to go inside to where there's cleaner air.
Spring, rain, cool days and warm days. Days that, once in a while, still drive you indoors to the comfort of Chromalox. Heating, cooling, cleaning the air. Chromalox devotes its products to making it a happier spring.
Thank you. Alec Baldwin. There are lots of ways to show you have style. Wearing fur isn't one of them. Each year, millions of animals are drowned or beaten to death in the wild, or gassed or electrocuted in captivity for their coats. Cruelty is one fashion statement we can do without. Please help the animals by joining People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
To find out how you can help, visit furisdead.com or call 757-622-PETA.
There we go. Isn't that great?
Oh, man. Nobody likes kazoos.
It's like a trifecta. We're a strong start today. We got some strong stuff today.
Yeah, you know the thing is with that kazoo thing? If you like the Muppets, you're going to like that.
Oh, I love it. But, I love the Muppets.
But nobody wants to sit down and listen to a lot of that.
Oh,
like,
my
one
God.
Track of that is enough for the night.
They did four on an EP, and it's plenty.
Yeah.
There's like Stones, Whole Lot of Love. They used to play that one on Dr. Demento all the time. I don't think I had heard Miss You in years, and when I hear that and the different kazoos that pop in at the different tones, I just start laughing so hard. Yeah. And I can only imagine if you are like super high and listening to that for the first time, you must laugh for at least a half an hour because it's so good. The Temple City Kazoo Orchestra with Miss You. And in the background is the real Stones with Miss You. This was a great, great single from the Stones from 1978. Yeah. And that kazoo orchestra was 1978 as well. They also did, also Sprach Zarathustra?
Yes.
In 2001, A Space Odyssey. And they have one other one in there that's it's eluding me what the fourth one is right now. But great stuff. And we talked about vaginas a little and candles and goop. And
all this comes back to Bloodsucking Freaks. If you've seen
Bloodsucking
that movie, by the way.
The spring.
All in there.
It's all a very spring-themed show again today.
I got to watch the Ten Commandments this weekend.
Yeah, I love that one. It's a good one to watch for Easter.
So it shall be written. So it shall be done.
Yeah.
Have a drink every time they say that.
You will take these commandments out of my cold, dead hands.
That's right.
Yeah. The
Moses ain't Charles taking no crap from nobody.
Charles Bronson, right?
Yeah, Charles Bronson.
Charles Bronson.
Is Moses.
Is
as you've never seen him before.
Ten Commandments with a gun.
Yeah.
It's Moses with a gun.
Gunning down punks
on
the streets of Palestine.
Yeah. Ten Commandments is a good one.
It is.
Moses, he's the one that moves the rock, I think. He goes and helps Jesus out.
He's like,
come on out. You got to get somebody with a wedge at least.
Kind
of
busy getting across the Red Sea there.
Yeah.
And you got Yul Brynner as Pharaoh.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's
right?
always
he's great
in anything.
Vincent Price in a dramatic role.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's good in that. He's relatively young in that.
He is.
In the 50s,
and
50...
And it's sort of...
6, 7, around
like,
there.
Unless you know it's Vincent Price, you might not realize that it's Vincent Price.
Yeah.
As sort of the wicked slave master who wants to get busy with Moses' girlfriend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good movie.
The Ten Commandments. The first thing that pops up... See, I want the movie, and the first thing comes up is like the Stones. And I don't want the Stones. I want the Ten Commandments. The Stones should have actually made a Ten Commandments song. Would have been good.
They should have.
The 1956 film is what I'm looking for. Starring Charlton Heston, of course. Yeah.
Yes.
He was great.
He's Spartacus.
Oh, Spartacus is great, too. Kirk Douglas.
Yep.
He's still with us, right?
Yes.
He's in the studio. He's downstairs.
Yeah.
We didn't let him in. He was supposed to be in the show.
He keeps phoning up, and we're not letting him in.
Let's get some more spring ambience in the background. There we go.
I was trying to find good Easter horror movies, and apparently some exist.
Oh, we should create one.
But they've all been made in like since the 2000s.
Call it. Did you ever see The Brown Bunny? No.
Is this
Christina Ricci's in it.
Do I go on a list if I say yes?
The Brown Bunny.
The Brown Bunny? I've never seen The Brown Bunny.
Was it Gus Van Sant, I think?
Oh, I'm familiar with the film.
Oh, no, it wasn't Gus Van Sant.
I haven't seen it.
It was that other guy. He was
the other Van Sant.
Vincent Gallo. He was big for all of a second. And Chloe Sevigny is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I said Christina Ricci, but yeah, it was one of those ones that got like kicked out of Cannes or something like that.
Yeah, because it was
like Roger
too
Ebert
stupid.
Said it was just disgusting.
Yeah,
he did Buffalo 66. That's the movie that was a better film apparently than any other film he did before or after The Brown Bunny. Just kind of ended that guy's career. But Not an Easter movie,
pretty
but
much
I just
Chloe
remember
Savini's career too.
Yeah, she's kind of wacky, huh?
But it was like after that, people were like, "Really? What? Why did you make that? What were you doing? What were you thinking?"
Yeah, yeah. She hasn't done too much. She's from Springfield, Mass. Did you know that?
She was like, "It's like Last Tango in Paris, isn't it?" And it's like, no, and that didn't end well for anybody either.
Oh, well, it ended well for Brando.
Yeah, well, it was always going to end well for Brando.
Brando got laid and he got a trophy.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good deal. Should get the trophy before. It's like, I don't know.
No, you got to prove you can do something and then you get the trophy.
Yeah. Chloe Savini from Springfield, Mass.
Yeah.
She's a local girl.
All the famous people are local.
That's true.
Like, if they're not from around here, we don't care.
Massachusetts has got quite a few good people.
Right.
Like, a lot of famous people come from here.
Yeah.
And a lot of infamous people.
Which is good, because we couldn't see movies otherwise. Like, if Matt That's Damon true. Is in a movie,
yeah.
or one of them Affleck kids is in the movie, you can't see it.
Mm. Yeah, I don't feel too well about those two.
You know.
I don't like them.
No, I want to see the new one.
Which one?
The Nike thing about the Air Jordans.
Oh, yeah.
It looks
good. It's called
good.
Air, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
It looks good. It looks fun.
Nah.
Argo good. Was good.
Yeah.
You liked Argo.
It was okay. John I gave
Goodman's,
it a B.
John Goodman's in Argo, and I know you love John Goodman.
That's only why I gave it a B.
Come
it would have been a
C+. It's a good movie.
Yeah, I don't know. Ben Affleck, he's coming up as Batman again. It's like, why does he get to be Batman?
Why
I would
not?
Rather have seen Kevin Smith as Batman.
He was a pretty good Batman. Yeah. No, I don't want to see Kevin Smith
as Batman.
He was
Smith an okay Batman.
I want to see Kevin Smith put in a box and stuffed in a closet for 20 years.
We almost got rid of him a couple of years ago.
I know. So he comes back to his senses.
Especially after the freaking whale guy, or the whale movie, the walrus movie.
Yeah.
Tusk?
Yeah.
God, that was crap.
Yeah.
It's like he just makes crap now, and he's like, I'm going to put it at the Wang Theater and charge $100 a head
and
tell dirty jokes to everybody for an hour.
You know what they're doing now? They're all hiring him to do the revivals of the 1980s cartoon series.
God. Do we need Kevin Smith's Transformers?
No.
Mazinga's got a penis or something?
He wrecked He-Man. He's the one that wrecked He-Man. That was him. Destroying He-Man
Did
recently.
He? What happened to He-Man?
So there was supposed to be a new He-Man series that was a continuation of the original Filmation series that I know you grew up on. I grew up, we all watched
I didn't watch He-Man.
You watched
My
it
brother
few,
watched that.
You watched it a few times. We've all seen some of it.
I knew who He-Man and the Skeletor guy were. That were about it.
So in the first episode, He-Man and Skeletor fight each other to the death.
They duke it out.
And then the rest of it's about She-Ra.
Oh, nice. Of course it is.
And it's like,
was it made by Disney?
What? Yeah. No, it was made by Netflix.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, why isn't He-Man in the He-Man show?
Oh.
Remember Book of Boba Fett and
sure.
how he wasn't in it?
Yeah, it's about Fennec Shand.
Yeah, like, why isn't He-Man in the He-Man show?
Oh, that's
show?
Because of Disney. Yeah.
No, instead it's about Man-at-Arms.
That's why Andor was about Andor's mother being the mother of the rebellion.
Yeah.
And he has nothing to do with anything. He's just there. He's just a man. He's just there. Nobody wants to listen to him.
Hey, you know what? He's going to suffer.
He wears a blue jacket. He's just a man.
The one good thing about Andor is you know that guy's going to suffer a horrible death in the not-too-distant future. So as if you hate what he does on the show, you know that's coming.
Oh, no. I love Cassian Andor. He's great. I didn't really like Luthen that much. It's like, what's going on? You get Stellan Skarsgård there, and he's usually great. And then he's playing like this... He's like a spy, like father of the rebellion / drama queen, like drag queen or something. I'm like, what is going on? He's like selling like death sticks on the side and flowers in his shop. I didn't know what was going on.
Well, now here's something we should bring up.
Yeah, but it's you can do karate too. I'm like, what's up with this guy?
And sorry if you're not into The Mandalorian, but in Star Wars,
it.
But we are. And if you're tuning in, you should expect this from us. Can we talk about the redemption of Ahmaad Best?
Yeah, that was great.
In last week's episode of The Mandalorian, he saved Grogu.
He saves Grogu. Yeah. It's like, because that's Jar Jar Binks.
That is Jar Jar Binks.
Yeah. Jar Jar Binks comes in and saves the day. He saves Grogu from Order 66.
I was sitting there watching it.
And he takes down like freaking 10 guys with two lightsabers.
I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm like, I recognize that. I recognize that guy. Who is that?
I knew right away. I knew it was Jar Jar Binks.
And then the credits came up, and they were like, Ahmaad Best. And I'm like, oh, my God.
It's like Jedi Jar Jar.
Like
Ahmaad Best.
You are redeeming Jar Jar.
Yeah.
In the eyes of the fans.
Very
you're redeeming the actor in the eyes of the fans.
Oh, yeah.
And what a nice thing for Favreau and Filoni to do.
Absolutely.
That's brilliant.
I actually watched, after that, I was watching like an old interview with Ahmed Best, and he was saying he was suicidal afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like for years, because everybody hated Jar Jar Binks so much. And poor Anakin, man. Jake Lloyd, man. They got to save him now, because that kid got messed up.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally destroyed his life.
You know, some of that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's fault, too. So,
nah,
it's
Jingle
not
all the way. That was great.
All Star Wars.
It was great.
I want to buy you a toy, Annie. I want to buy you something for your Christmas, Annie.
Yeah.
I buy you a lightsaber.
It's not good.
Cold, grab my hand, Annie.
It's not good.
Grab my hand.
I'd like to see a sequel to Jingle All the Way. Jingle All the Way 2, Electric Boogaloo.
So I was, I told you I was watching Laser Blast. And
Finger Blast.
Yeah, and it's basically yeah. like it was made, you know, to cash in. Irwin Yablons distributed this.
Who's that?
That's the guy that distributed Halloween.
Yeah.
And along with Mustafa Akkad, like, kept churning out bad Halloween movies.
Okay, right. Yep.
But it was made in response to Star Wars because people want aliens and all the rest of this. The mm-hmm. plot of the movie is kid finds an alien gun,
mm-hmm.
but to make it work, he has to wear this power pack that turns him into some kind of a monster.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And apparently all the gun does is blow up cars, because that's all that happens in this movie, is they blow up cars for the next hour.
That's all right. I can watch that.
But at one point in the movie...
Go back to Norway, yeah.
They're riding down the road, and he's got the gun, and he blows up a sign advertising Star Wars.
Really?
This is 1978 that this came up.
No kidding.
And it's like, I see what you did there.
That's interesting.
That's kind of cute.
Yeah.
I was watching another movie, may or may not have been an adult film, called The Beast in Space.
Oh, nice. Was it Mel Gibson?
No, it's an Italian film from 1980.
Okay.
And it is actually an adult film.
Ooh, The Beast in Space.
It is best described as...
How big is this beast?
If you take movies...
Is he sizable?
No. The Beast...
Is he sweaty?
The Beast is a famous European movie.
Okay.
About the personification of Satan.
Yes.
Interacting with women.
Yes.
It is an erotic film.
Yes.
So this is an unofficial sequel called The Beast in Space.
Yeah.
And it is best described as taking a movie like Forbidden Planet.
Good movie.
And have everybody rip their clothes off and get freaky.
Wow. But including Leslie Nielsen?
But at one,
and the robot?
Yes.
Yep.
But at one point in this, they pull out lightsabers.
Really?
And they use the same technique
no
they originally used for the lightsaber. Where they were using that
a stick, and then they have the glowing thing.
It's a sword,
the noise,
covered with the reflective material.
Yes.
So it looks like it's lighting up, and they're fighting with these things.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's like, here's another Star Wars reference. Star Wars is huge.
Yeah.
But Ahmed Best, I was so happy to see that.
Me too. I hope he shows up again.
That guy, I do too, because that guy got a raw deal.
Yep.
And it wasn't his fault.
Right.
George Lucas is the one that told him to do that.
Yep.
Or told him not to tone it down.
Yep.
And it ruined the guy's life.
I'm one of the few people that like Jar Jar. I didn't have too many problems with Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's terrible.
I love Jar Jar.
Jar Jar's
I loved
awful.
Watto too. Watto was fantastic.
Watto,
I liked Sebulba.
Watto's guys, okay.
This weird guy that's like walking around on his feet. Like, that's awesome.
And Sebulba, you know, is a necessary
I even like Danny.
Character type, but Jar Jar is just so bad.
I'm going to tell you my favorite of the three prequels. My favorite scene was the pod race. It was great.
Didn't like it.
Oh, come on.
Didn't like it.
When I was in the theater seeing episode one, I'm like, that was my favorite part of the movie by far. The lightsaber fight with Darth Maul at the end's great, but the pod race felt like Star Wars to me.
That's, see, the lightsaber, there is a moment, because you sit through this prequel,
mm-hmm.
like the first one, Phantom Menace, and you're like, what is this? What is going on? What is this? What is this?
Yeah. Stupid then, name for a movie, too. Hated it.
That moment
yeah.
when Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan face off against Darth Maul.
Oh, fantastic.
And the music shifts.
Yeah.
Boom. All of a sudden, it becomes a Star Wars movie.
Yeah, but and the only like, problem there is they had the shields in between them where he like meditates and stuff,
I know.
Which was a very cool Jedi thing to do, but it's like, it also stopped it. So,
but that's very George. That's the
yeah.
kind of stuff that you saw in Empire.
But then he has the Naboo battle going. He's got the Queen going up on her little ropes and stuff. So he's doing three things at once.
The thing that wrecks it.
Yep.
The thing that wrecks it is
Podrace was all Podrace.
Is Anakin's commentary.
Mm.
Anakin's commentary wrecks that sequence of the movie.
In the space battle.
But the rest of it is so good. It's as good.
The tension's lost with it. Yeah.
It's as good as anything in the prequel trilogy got.
Mm. I still love the pod race. The problem. You got Fode and Bede there calling the pod race.
The problem with the pod
race. You get some Jawas, a Tusken.
The problem with the pod race is you know the outcome before it begins.
Well, you know Andy's going to win.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And if you know that's the outcome, then why are we watching?
Oh, because it's Star Wars. Because that was his only idea. He took that pod race and he made a movie around it.
Yeah.
You know, that was his American Graffiti moment.
Yeah, it's American Graffiti in space, which is, which is fine. That's great. But if you know the outcome ahead of time, there is no tension.
Yeah, but
this is one of the problems with prequels.
Movie. Yeah.
If you know where all these characters end up, then you can't really do anything with them before that.
I give that now because, I mean, it is a kid's movie, that one.
Yeah.
You know, Darth Maul's great, though.
Darth Maul is a brilliant character.
I loved all of George's villains. You know, they were all well thought out, I thought. I liked Count Dooku. I loved General Grievous. Maul was fantastic.
Grievous was good. Dooku...
Oh, he's great.
Yeah, didn't quite do it for
him. Great.
I like Christopher Lee.
Oh, he's fantastic in that.
But Dooku doesn't...
He tries to trick him.
Yeah, but he doesn't really
seem...
He's
like, oh, Master Yoda, let's see how your lightsaber skills are.
He's supposed to be a Sith Lord, and he doesn't really come off as a good Sith Lord. In the sense that he's a capable Sith Lord.
He's upper class Sith Lord.
No. I mean,
he likes all the better things.
He doesn't seem like a capable Sith Lord.
Yeah, but he's working the Senate.
Yeah, but he's... Is he...
Yeah, he's the Emperor's voice.
I know he's working the census, but he's just not.
And I liked his he brought that Errol Flynn type of late skill.
But
to the
character
table.
Isn't evil
he's
enough.
He was elegant. I like my Dark Jedi's elegant.
The character isn't evil enough. He doesn't have that moment where he does something that you're like, you're irredeemable. You know.
Yeah, and when Anakin cuts off his hands and gives him the scissors, man, and number three, I'm like, come on. I'm like, really? Did we need that? I think George went over the top with that, watching Anakin get burned, and then he's like slicing off hands. And
oh, how about Boba Fett getting killed
Boba
in
Fett
front
getting
of his
lopped
kid?
Off. Yeah, that was
or
pretty
Django
rough.
Or Django getting killed in front of his
but
kid.
But that was kind of comical, because it was just like, yeah, there's a head. Heads will roll, that's it. Gladiator movie. You know, he just wanted to do Gladiator 2 at that point, because Gladiator was such a success, and he didn't make it. So he's like, I'm going to give them Attack of the Clones and just make a big Gladiator movie, and then we'll... get some stuff around it and have it make some sense.
Yeah, the big space battle, the big battle at the end of that doesn't work at all.
Nah. I love number two, though. I like all of them. I like all those Star Wars movies and the prequels.
I go back and forth on the prequels.
Yeah.
The original trilogy is fantastic. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. The prequels I go back and forth on.
I'll tell you what sucked. Obi-Wan sucked. Boba Fett sucked.
Yeah.
You know, you start to do something interesting and they get rid of it. Like Cad Bane's great character, they get rid of him right away. Inquisitor, great character, they get rid of him right away.
We don't know that Cad Bane's done.
Yeah. But still, if you don't know those backstories, it's like you're just seeing him for the first time. Do something with him.
Here's the big problem. This is probably...
They don't want to spend the money.
The single biggest issue with Star Wars right now. There is so much canon out there and so much that you need to know. And so much unrelated stuff that you need to have seen to appreciate what's happening in like one moment in Boba Fett.
Well, they tried to reset that with episode 7 through 9, but then they didn't do anything with the original cast. That's what's funny too is they didn't even tie in the original cast very well.
Like if you go back to the very first season of The Mandalorian, you don't know who any of these characters are,
right? There's a familiarity about them. You're in the Star Wars universe.
There's some visual nods to the Star Wars universe. We know we're in the Star Wars universe. They introduce a small number of characters. Every single character has a significant role to play in the story.
Yeah.
And then we're out of it by the end. And then in the last episode, here comes the Darksaber.
Right.
And now you need to know everything that happened in the Clone Wars.
Right. To understand
what the Darksaber is.
Yeah, it's like, what was that?
And
I loved the client. I thought he was great. He was a cool character, like an old Imperial guy. Herzog was awesome. He was mysterious. We didn't know much about him.
And
then they kill him off.
I love Katie Sackhoff. I think she's awesome as Bo-Katan.
Yeah, she's doing pretty good.
But you got to know a whole lot of backstory to know who Bo-Katan is.
Yeah.
And she used to have the Darksaber, and then she didn't have the Darksaber.
I almost feel like Disney's doing this so people will watch these streaming things that are already created.
That's the plan.
You know?
That's
what it seems like to
that's
me.
That's what the Marvel Cinematic Universe is about. That's what the Star Wars Universe is. We're going to have all this stuff, and people are going to buy and watch all this stuff.
You got to say, Marvel Cinematic Universe was a brilliant plan, and it worked. I mean, because that could have been a huge fail, too. And there were some duds along the way. Like, they didn't do anything with Incredible Hulk there with, what's his name, Edward...
It worked until...
Edward James Olmos.
It worked until Avengers Endgame, and then it didn't work anymore.
Yeah.
And it hasn't worked since.
Edward Norton. Yeah. I agree.
Because now you're calling back to stuff that the world's back to normal. Nobody cares anymore. Stop telling us about the people who vanished. You're going to make it interesting or do something with it, and they don't.
I do like how it's still kind of special that it's released on a Wednesday, or Picard sends it on a Thursday. So you're still kind of having that network television excitement and talking the next day to people about it. I think one of the hardest things now is with social media and the fact that we all have computers in our pockets now is if you could read something on it and you've just spoiled your whole freaking watch. And the other ridiculous part to me now is for somebody to be like, oh, you can't say anything about it. I haven't seen it yet. It's like, if it's been out for 6 months and you haven't seen it, you're not a fan.
Oh, no spoilers.
Yeah, it's like, I'll spoil whatever the hell I want. It's like, I took the time to see it. I actually did the work.
Yeah. Don't kick rocks.
I want to talk to other people that did the work.
Well, there's an entire group of people making money on YouTube.
Yep, yep.
Putting out videos that are... the ending of The Crying Game explained.
Oh, boy.
Or the ending of No Way Out explained.
He's got a penis. That's
it. And really...
He's a she.
What they're doing
is... What was that? What was the end of the what? Citizen Kane?
The end of No Way Out explained.
No Way Out. I didn't see No Way Out.
Kevin Costner is a Russian.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh. Spoiler alert.
What those videos actually are...
I'm not hurt that you told me that. I'm never going to say it.
What those videos actually are Cliff Note versions of movies.
Yes.
So that you can watch the video and then act like you've seen it.
Yeah.
Without ever actually watching the movie.
I agree with that. There are plenty of people out there that want to make it sound like they have seen something because they are embarrassed if they don't know what you're talking about. So they seem to want to have some kind of familiarity about it. Otherwise, they end up looking like a buffoon.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so this
not everybody a know-it-all is like me and you, Derek. We are well versed, I think, in the years that we've been on Earth.
But
most people aren't like that.
But because we put in the time.
That's right, because we care.
We don't sit there scrolling a screen all day long. We actually go out and watch things and experience things and listen to things.
Right. And you know my ignorance in sports. I know next to nothing about sports. So you can name me like five Patriots. I don't even know who the hell you're talking about.
You get me off of football, I'm really out of my depth. Football I know.
Yeah.
The rest of it, I'm like, I don't know what anybody's doing in a hockey game.
Yeah.
All these years later. Like, baseball, I know the fundamentals of it.
Yeah.
And I got a wife that's crazy about baseball. So
sure, yeah.
I got to know that.
My friends went to a Bruins game the other day, and I'm just like, how much is that? I'm like, $250. I'm like, I'm out. I'm like, unless it's $5, I'm not going.
Yeah.
I like hanging out with my friends, whatever, but it's like, no.
All of it's way too expensive now. All of it is way too expensive now. So this was a fun one. The NFL...
Yep.
At their owners' meeting, just had a vote, thankfully did not pass, that would have given them the ability, how they flex games?
Yeah.
Like, this Sunday night football game is going to be a turd, so we're going to take a better game earlier in the day and put it on in that time slot.
Okay, yep.
So if you're a season ticket holder and you were thinking you had a 1 o'clock game, now you got an 8 o'clock game and you're going to be useless at work the next day?
That sucks, yeah.
They had a vote on... flexing Sunday games to Thursday night.
Ugh.
Like, in what world is that a reasonable request of somebody who has bought tickets to your event?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it was going to be Sunday. Now it's Thursday night.
Well, especially if it was Sunday afternoon and you had the day off. It's like now you pretty much have to call into work on Friday.
Yeah.
Right?
And Thursday, because you got to leave early if you want to make it to the stadium on time with the traffic.
Yep.
That's insane. But they're sitting around like, the Amazon ratings haven't been as good as we hoped. Well, then put better games on.
You're right.
You can't tell somebody that the thing's on Sunday and then be like, oh, yeah, no, it's now Thursday night. What? I gotta get a babysitter now.
In the background, JCPenney Overture.
Is this from the He's a Penny Man?
I think so, yes.
Great album. Industrial musical.
I know.
I got a few
amazing
industrial musicals.
They spent some cash on this.
I've got one. There's one of those industrial musicals on Beware of the Blog is one that I found. And that's all about life in New Review.
Uh-huh. You know what I love is, like, say you worked at JCPenney and, like, hey, what do you do there? You sell pants? Like, no, we produced a flexi disc this year. we produced a record this year.
Yeah.
It's like, here's our JCPenney marching band song.
Yep.
Everybody like, what? I thought you sold pants. Like, no, that's pretty cool. It's like, I used to make a record. I used to cut a record.
I've had the McDonald's 1979 flexi disc.
Oh, that one's great.
Sitting on the iPod for several weeks now, and we got to get to that.
Yeah, that'd
not,
be a good one.
Not tonight, but because it's 10 minutes
That's
long.
That's the one with Ray Kroc.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, that one's good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant piece of
And what I love about him
promotion.
Is, yeah, he's just himself the whole time. Yeah. You know who else? We were talking about this before, too.
Without
do you remember
you
the guy from Nina's?
As the liaison between the McDonald's Corporation and the customers, we're dead.
We're dead. Yeah, we had this conversation about how CEOs and business owners who do not want to actually get voice talent, they want to do the commercials for themselves.
The worst.
Some of them are just absolutely god awful. And I was talking about Nina's, the Indian guy the very, very thick accent. Come to Nina's, get a lamp. You know, it's just like, oh my god, he did it probably for like 3 or 4 years. I'm like, that's the modern equivalent of the Ray Kroc McDonald's flexi disc.
I think he writes them himself too, which is even worse.
Yeah, it's like, oh my god, it's laughable, but it's like memorable too. You know, it's like, oh my god, couldn't you just get some voice talent for this?
This
60 second commercial could have been 10 seconds.
Yeah.
You know?
One of the worst examples of that, and this is actually a legitimate entertainment product.
Yes.
Oliver Stone did an 8 or 10 part documentary on history. There was everything that you didn't learn in school.
Oh, I remember
history.
That. Yeah, I watched a couple of them.
And it was very much in the vein of The World at War.
Yeah.
Where they took the footage and threw a lot of Foley effects on it.
Yeah, those are awesome.
And then had a narrator.
Mm-hmm.
Oliver Stone chose to narrate this.
Yeah.
And it was one of the biggest mistakes he ever made in his career.
I agree.
Because he is a terrible narrator.
Yeah, I agree.
And
Boring as hell.
If he had gone out and hired anybody to do it who wasn't him, it would have been so much... I was cringing my way. I watched the whole thing because the content was great.
Yeah, if you brought Morgan Freeman in.
But I'm sitting there and I'm like, shut up, Oliver. Go get a narrator. Hire somebody.
Yep. I agree.
Maybe he couldn't find anyone to back up his crazy conspiracy theories.
Yeah. Hey, you like Robbie Roadsteamer, right?
Robbie Roadsteamer's back in town.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
He's going back on the radio with Hardy.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was going to play one of his songs.
Please do.
Heart of a Rhino.
Please do.
I have, I have Heart of a Rhino, acoustic version of it. And let me just get that from the library.
You know, before he blew up on BCN, Robbie Roadsteamer used to be a semi-regular guest on my old radio show.
I do.
Robbie and I go way back.
Yeah, he came and did the Christmas show, too.
I may reach out there, see if we can get Robbie to come by and hang with us.
Is he just, that'd be fun.
For an afternoon.
Is he in town for just a little while?
No.
Or has he actually moved back yet?
He's back. He had some misadventures out on the West Coast with World Wrestling Entertainment.
Sure, yeah.
And now he's back to save the Boston music scene.
Cool.
Well, here is
Robbie with the Heart of a Rhino acoustic version. We'll be back in a moment. You're listening to WMFO Medford. What is this?
This is for all the boys at the Roxbury YMCA.
When a rhino's heart breaks, everybody cries in the forest. You can cut him till he bleeds, but he rises like a cobra, he's a hellcat. Oh, you left me to die in the pit, but this old lieutenant won't quit. I got the mind of a ninja and the strength of 1,000 ninjas. So you're saying that just one thing ain't clicking. I can lift 60 pounds. I got 20 friends on MySpace. What's not clicking? Well, I still got one bullet left. It's a coupon for Panera Bread. Run away with me for a chicken frontiga sandwich. Well, I got this Corsica with an old tape player and Chumbawamba. I get knocked down, but I get up again. It's a really cool song, you should learn the words. I got the body of a grizzly bear, and I feel like a turtle down there. Let's go at each other like we're made out of ice cream. Well, I spent 20 bucks a kabloom, and I got some sick flowers if you got the room. I've been thinking about us and babies, or me with the babies, or you keep the babies. I got Roadhouse on DVD. Watch Swayze go crazy with me. Show me that Chinese tattoo you got in high school. Well, I got this apartment. She ain't that much at the moment. Just a Nintendo Zapper, a bottle of Zima, and Duck Hunt. But with you inside, it's Euro Disney. And I can kill all the ducks if you're with me. But if you ain't gonna stay, these ducks are all gonna fly away. And I guess that's just the way the story ends.
God damn it, I'd piss on a spark plug if I thought it'd do any good.
All right. We're going to end it with some more kazoos, I guess.
Nice.
Staying alive.
I'm in a couple of Robbie's music videos.
Yes. Yeah. You play an executive, too. I was in also that the reality show that he did.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Quiet Desperation.
I was in one episode of that.
I was in a couple of those. I played Chris Eagles.
I have a ridiculous mustache.
Yes, I remember.
The episode that I'm in.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, you're part of like a metal band or a hard rock band.
Yep.
And you're tearing down like some posters or something.
But
I do drugs in one of the episodes. I have like a mask. That's what I'm doing. It's assumed that I'm doing nitrous oxide in one of the episodes as nice. Chris Eagles, who wears only leather and sunglasses, and I usually always carry a guitar with me. And then I complain about the heat. And I like everything cold, so I'm secretly turning down the temperature at the at the place where everyone's rehearsing. So everybody's mad that I've been peeing in the garbage cans and turning down the temperature. That was nice. My role there.
Nice.
But yeah, that was a lot of fun. And I only spoke in an odd Russian accent, so I was and I wasn't scared of guns.
Yeah,
guns went off, and I was the only one who never left. It was a fun little piece. I'll pull out that every now and then as the leader of the Lost Boys.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get a hold of Robbie and maybe we get him in here.
Yeah, that would be fun.
I know he's going to be doing afternoons on whatever station he's going over to with Hardy.
Yeah.
But maybe we get him before he starts up over there and spend some time with him.
Yeah, that would be awesome. It'd be great to see him. Been
I'd
a
love
long
to hear about
time.
I've been following some of his West Coast adventures on Facebook, and always awesome hanging out with Robbie.
Absolutely. And we could tell them about our adventures here at WMFO every Wednesday night.
That's right. We've been keeping Massachusetts warm for you.
That's right.
We've been keeping it warm. Not exciting, not fun, but warm. It's warm.
It's warm here, kid.
It's like when you come home late.
Yep.
When Dad came home late for dinner. I kept it warm for you.
I kept it warm for you, honey. If it was in the fridge, you knew Mom and Dad were fighting.
Yeah.
You knew that if it was in the fridge.
I kept it warm for you.
We will see you again Wednesdays, and we'll not be here next week, but we'll be here in a couple more weeks.
Nice.
And you're listening to WMFO in Medford. Mellow Max is coming up next. It's been What Is This with Derek and Chris. Have a wonderful week, everybody.
Happy pre-Easter.
And happy Easter, yes.
That's 2 weeks, but hey, do whatever.
And now the Temple City Moose Club is proud to present our own Temple City Kazoo Orchestra.
Thank you very much. I'm Chris Snyder. This is the same.